Hello, and welcome to the ScrapGov Scrap Podcast, where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of the reach, and the power of a tyrannical government. Today's podcast is going to be a short podcast because I got to work. I just got off of my home time, and I just got back to Oklahoma. And they just called me on a demob to, they call them frack moves, to basically break down a one oil rig and move it to another location. You know, basically, that's why we're called rig runners. But anyhow, I'm a little early. And people are already here. I just now got here. I guess I'm just going to do Ron Paul and give a little bit of an update and then call it a night. Basically, we are looking at changing our podcast, our ScrapGov Scrap podcast, to Sunday. And I got to thinking 5 o'clock on Sunday is probably too early for our churchgoer friends. Most of our friends are Sabbath keepers. So they do Sabbath on Saturday, but some of our people are, I guess you can call them, Sunday keepers. Because they do church on Sunday. So, and occasionally I do church on Sunday also, especially if I'm in Kansas City. So, it should be about 7 o'clock for our ScrapGov Scrap podcast on Sundays. And, yeah, next week I'll probably do two of them, Sunday and Monday, just the CYOA. But we are going to be changing it to Sunday. We talked about it. And that's probably the better day. So it'll take us a while to adjust and get all the kinks worked out. Just like we did with our DD&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. This one here is going to be at scrapgovscrap.us. But if you go to the .com, you'll find Lenny Ladner, which is where I basically got the idea to do this. All right, so basically our podcast is Ron Paul and Lenny Ladner based. Last week, Ladner called in. Every week we call into Ron Paul's weekly update thingy. So that's what I'm going to do right now. Here we go.
President Trump's recent cabinet shakeup looks to be a real boost to hardline militarism and neoconservatism. If his nominees to head the State Department and CIA are confirmed, we may well have moved closer to war. Before being chosen by Trump to head up the CIA, Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo, one of the most pro-war members of Congress, he has been militantly hostile toward Iran, and many times has erroneously claimed that Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror. The truth is, Iran neither attacks nor threatens the United States. At a time when President Trump appears to set to make history by meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un face-to-face, Pompeo remains dedicated to a regime change policy that leads to war, not diplomacy and peace. He blames Iran rather than the 2003 U.S. invasion for the ongoing disaster in Iraq. He enthusiastically embraced the Bush policy of enhanced interrogation, which the rest of us call torture. Speaking of torture, even if some of the details of Trump's CIA nominee Gina Haspel's involvement in the torture of Abu Zibawa are disputed, the mere fact that she helped develop an interrogation regime that our own government admitted was torture, that she oversaw an infamous black site where torture took place, and that she covered up the evidence of her crimes should automatically disqualify her for further government service. In a society that actually values the rule of law, Haspel may well be facing a much different kind of federal facility than CIA headquarters. While it may be disappointing to see people like Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, and Gina Haspel as the head of the CIA, it shouldn't be all that surprising. The few areas where President Trump's actions are consistent with candidate Trump's promises are ripping up the nuclear deal with Iran and embracing the torture policies of President George W. Bush. Candidate Trump, in late 2015, promised to bring back waterboarding and a whole lot worse if he became president. It seems like it is his intention, with the elevation of Pompeo and Haspel to the most senior positions in his administration. We should be concerned, of course, but the real problem is not really Mike Pompeo or Gina Haspel. It is partly true that personnel is policy, but it's more than just that. It matters less who fills the position of Secretary of State or CIA Director, when the real issue is that both federal agencies are routinely engaged in activities that are both unconstitutional and anti-American. It is the current executive branch overreach that threatens our republic more than the individuals who fill the positions in that executive branch. As long as Congress refuses to exercise its constitutional authority and oversight obligations, especially in matters of war and peace, we will continue our slide toward authoritarianism, where the president becomes a kind of king who takes us to war whenever he wishes. I am heartened to see some senators, including Senator Rand Paul, pledging to oppose President Trump's nominees for state and CIA. Let's hope many more join him, and let's hope the rest of the Congress wakes up to its role as first among equals in our political system. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement,
hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, March 19th. President Trump's recent cabinet shakeup looks to be a real boost to hardline militarism and neoconservatism. If his nominees to head the State Department and CIA are confirmed, we may well have moved closer to war. Before being chosen by Trump to head up the CIA, Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo, one of the most pro-war members of Congress, he has been militantly hostile toward Iran and many times has erroneously claimed that Iran is the world's number one state sponsor of terror. The truth is, Iran neither attacks nor threatens the United States. At a time when President Trump appears to set to make history by meeting North Korean leader Kim Jong-un face-to-face, Pompeo remains dedicated to a regime change policy that leads to war, not diplomacy and peace. He blames Iran rather than the 2003 U.S. invasion for the ongoing disaster in Iraq. He enthusiastically embraced the Bush policy of enhanced interrogation, which the rest of us call torture. Speaking of torture, even if some of the details of Trump's CIA nominee Gina Haspel's involvement in the torture of Abu Zibawa are disputed, the mere fact that she helped develop an interrogation regime that our own government admitted was torture, that she oversaw an infamous black site where torture took place, and that she covered up the evidence of her crimes should automatically disqualify her for further government service. In a society that actually values the rule of law, Haspel may well be facing a much different kind of federal facility than CIA headquarters. While it may be disappointing to see people like Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, and Gina Haspel as the head of the CIA, it shouldn't be all that surprising. The few areas where President Trump's actions are consistent with candidate Trump's promises are ripping up the nuclear deal with Iran and embracing the torture policies of President George W. Bush. Candidate Trump, in late 2015, promised to bring back waterboarding and a whole lot worse if he became president. It seems like it is his intention with the elevation of Pompeo and Haskell to the most senior positions in his administration. We should be concerned, of course, but the real problem is not really Mike Pompeo or Gina Haspel. It is partly true that personnel is policy, but it's more than just that. It matters less who fills the position of Secretary of State or CIA director when the real issue is that both federal agencies are routinely engaged in activities that are both unconstitutional and anti-American. It is the current executive branch overreach that threatens our republic more than the individuals who fill the positions in that executive branch. As long as Congress refuses to exercise its constitutional authority and oversight obligations, especially in matters of war and peace, we will continue our slide toward authoritarianism, where the president becomes a kind of king who takes us to war whenever he wishes. I am heartened to see some senators, including Senator Rand Paul, pledging to oppose President Trump's nominees for state and CIA. Let's hope many more join him, and let's hope the rest of the Congress wakes up to its role as first among equals in our political system. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement.
All right. You probably hear the wind in the background. It's pretty windy here. Cold and windy. Like I said, I'm keeping it short. I got to go to work. War. Why do these people love war? I mean, people talk about war creates money. War does not create money. Basically, they borrow money from these big banks to fund these wars. So, yeah, war is good money for banking systems. The banking systems loan the money to both sides. And then, of course, you know, we got to pay interest. So if you're a bank, oh, yeah, money, war is good. War is, you know, good for the pocketbook if you, if you're a banker or you're an investor in those type of things. You know, if you're a war mongrel, your money is in all of that garbage, then yeah, war is profitable. But, you know, if you're a peace-loving hippie or, you know, just a peace-loving American or whatever country you're in, if you don't believe in war and you want peace and prosperity for everyone, not just you and your whoever. Oh, crap, that's bright. Just got a new light for my hard hat. The other one didn't work right. So hopefully this one does. But anyhow, you know, if you're for peace, well, yeah, there's no money in war. But if you're for war and you got all your investments in it, of course there's money in war. But that's about the only people that profit from war. And those are the people that push it. So, you know, follow the money. Ah, son of a biscuit. Follow the money. You know, the people that promote war are the ones who's making money off of it. So, there you go. Donald Trump is a businessman. So, where's his investments? Obviously, he's investing in war because he's promoting war. So, he stands to make money off of this just like the other war mongrels, if you will. So there you go. All right, more people are showing up for work. I got to get ready to go. Trying to get this new light attached to this hard hat so I can be ready to rock and roll. I'm not sure this one's going to work out, but it'll work better than the other one did. The other one was a crappy design. Unfortunately, I threw the box away. Ding darn dilly. This one's probably not the best design either. But it's better than the other one was. Yeah, that's not good. I'll probably have to zip tie it. Oh, well. Anyways, all right. We'll talk to you guys later. Freaking hard hats. All right. I'm signing out. Oh, scrapgov, scrap.com, and scrapgov, scrap.us. is where you can find us, and you can find Lenny Ladner, which is shit. They said this stupid thing was hard hat friendly. It's a bunch of crap. Fuck. This ain't gonna work. I swear, I keep fucking spending money on pieces of shit. It don't fucking work. Alright, I'm gonna have to get this duct tape and zip ties out. Alright, scrapgovscrap.us, scrapgovscrap.com, and we'll talk to you next Sunday, 7 p.m., give or take. Basically, when you or someone you know is getting out of church, whatever, you know, Google the local church, see what time they get out Sunday evening. That's about what time we're going to be podcasting next Sunday. So, and every Sunday for that matter, 6:30, 7 o'clock, about that time. So I'm going to say probably 7. Okay, bye.